SBS Radio.
We wanted to really bring that experience of the flavours and the traditions that are familiar to us from the Philippines barrio bean neighbourhood, for those that might not know. We wanted to create a series of events that would celebrate that and communicate that to an audience outside of our community. Mm-hmm. So for Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which really represents, I guess for us, the first huge milestone achievement in the event space, we're putting on a series of dinners, which are just recently sold out.
Yeah.
We're
very excited. Congratulations.
Last week.
Yeah. Sure, I think for anyone that was forgot about Valentine's Day, they got online and actually purchased their tickets to join us. But we're excited. 200 diners and four amazing culinarians that will be showcasing the diversity and creativity that is Filipino food.
Yeah.
It
really speaks to the diaspora, I think, of the Filipino community, because we are bringing in amazing chefs from Manila. So we've got Jordi Navarra from Toyo Eatery, and Nicole Ponseca, who's been doing amazing things in New York to really further the cause of Filipino food over there, with two restaurants, Jigni and Mahalika. Also Yasmin Newman, who's a celebrated author of Filipino cookbook, and Ross Magnaya is our Melbourne contingent. So for us, it's about making it be a place for all of these people to converge and put their own spin on Filipino food and show that each person has their own story to tell within that cuisine. So the cuisine is so diverse within itself. So
That's true. And I think in addition to barrio, we've also, I think it's good to note that, Filipino cuisine has never been featured in the program or in the festival in its 26-year history.
That's true.
It's huge, right? It's a huge thing for, to bring that Filipino movement and awareness to Melbourne, and Melbourne being such a, a foodie destination. And so it's really resonated and really sort of generated quite a bit of traction, both from media and even like, I guess, industry leaders themselves. So like, we'll obviously have the likes of John Rivera, who's the executive chef at Lume. And I guess we've also, I think we're creating such a great platform and profile that people are actually coming to us. So whether it's creatives or whether it's, fellow budding entrepreneurs who are looking to distribute products from Philippines to Australia, or even Australian Filipino based businesses wanting to export their products here in Australia, they're seeing that there's a real opportunity to profile and leverage off the platform we're creating. So we've got also Nicole Ponseca and Jordi featured in the signature event that Melbourne Food and Wine are well known for, their masterclass. So they're going to be demonstrating a number of Filipino dishes and showcasing how that is made and the various produce that's required.
On the 10th of March.
And then and then we've got the dinners on the 12th and the 13th. And Grace, you want to talk about the book signing event?
So we've had an opportunity to have Nicole and Yasmin here, are both well-renowned culinarians that have produced their own Filipino cookbooks. Yasmin being 7,000 Islands and Nicole Ponseca's is I Am a Filipino. And so with them being both present here in Melbourne, we couldn't give up the chance of actually showcasing their contribution to the culinary cookbook world.
Yeah.
And so on Monday, the 11th of March, which is Labor Day, we will showcase their labor of love in the form of having a book signing event where we'll also converse with these ladies about their culinary journeys. And that will be at one of the iconic locations in Queen Victoria Market called Books for Cooks, and our tickets for that is actually still available on Eventbrite or on the Cooks for Books Facebook page as well.
Check
that out. It's going to be a great chismis and chismis with these cookbook authors.
Why do you think we haven't really been able to break through the mainstream, like Chinese cuisine or Thai?
I think it comes with our, I guess, cultural heritage, where we've been taught to assimilate when we actually come to wherever land we find as our second home. Mm. I think, you know, growing up in primary school, you never really wanted to bring, you know, fried rice or sinigang or anything like that to school. But now that's what my child is asking for me. It's like, I don't want sandwich, I want sinigang. Can you put it in like a little bit of a thermostat or a thermo flask? So I think it's now the fact that us being parents or us being older generation of Australian Filipinos, we're wanting to talk about it a lot more. We're not hiding behind the facade that it's not as good as your Thai cuisine or not as good as your Vietnamese. We're actually showcasing it ourselves. And once we actually take pride of our own cuisine, our own culture, then other people will follow and take notice. Mm. But without that being part of the approach, it doesn't come across authentic then. Mm. So I think the more of us are out there wanting to talk about it, wanting people to take notice, the more you find that get into the Melbourne mainstream. And that is, you know, one of our driving forces for why we want the Melbourne Food and Wine events to be such a successful one. Mm. It is just an entree into what is to come.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's why we resonate with the whole notion of being called the entrepreneurs.
Mm.
You know, the entrepreneurs refers to entree being the first course of a Western meal, mm-hmm. benais being the Filipino Tagalog word for Filipino woman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So really this is, yeah, being our platform for giving people that introduction into what the Filipino cuisine and culture is about.
And I think people have been curious for a long time. It's just we haven't sort of shared that narrative at this scale before.
Yeah.
And so we're excited by that. And I think, you know, once it's, so there's an education piece, but then what comes after that is an appreciation, and then hopefully then, the demand to experience and know more. So we are just starting out. We are an introduction to it, and we're very, very pleased as to how far we've come from an idea 12 months ago, or even less than that, to where we are now. So
there is an element, I think, of cultural cringe when you think about things that might be not as palatable to a crowd that isn't as educated about Filipino food. So when you think about things like spam, for example, has a bad rap. You know, it has a bad sort of reputation outside of Filipino cuisine, but, you know, it's delicious. And I'm saying that as, you know, I'm mostly vegetarian. You know, but this perception that Filipino food is not fresh and healthy and vital, and I think comes a lot from that idea that we eat a lot of spam, you know, a lot of saturated fats from the meats and all the good stuff, you know, and maybe
all the innards as well.
Yeah. Things like binoguan, you know.
We're not the only culture eat innards.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I think it's almost like saying, you know, people eat, you know, the Spaniards eat morcilla. Like, why can't we sort of also embrace binoguan in the same light, you know? Or even things like balot. You know, sometimes people won't know much about Filipino food, but they'll know about balot, you know. And that's hard to sort of explain to people. So I think that's where that comes from, those perceptions. And those are the things that we're trying to address.
Yeah.
Because it's about keeping those traditions, but also showing what people are doing now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not being stuck in the past, or it's not, and it's also not being, obviously,
well, it's embracing the past, right?
But also
looking at how we can reinvent and reimagine for the audience today and what they're looking for. So, like, for example, Jordi Navarra from Toy Eatery, he's using traditional flavors and produce and whatnot, but elevate it to in a way where it's presented differently.
Give an example?
Yes, because you guys have been
eating. I had the pleasure of actually dining there when I went back to the Philippines in December. And he has this dish called Bahay Kubo, and I think for many sort of Filipino youngsters would know that song, right? So it's all about a folklore song about all the different vegetables that's brought out from the pastures and sort of brought together and so forth. But he does it in a dish that's very sort of whimsical, but also true to the flavors of what each of those vegetarian elements are.
Mm.
So it's amazing. You dig around through it. It's like, it looks like soil, but then you sort of dig a little bit further and it's like, oh, I tasted peanuts or mané, or what else is in that Bahay Kubo song?
We're all going to start singing it.
Now I have to sing it.
Yeah, you have to sing it. Come on. You can sing it, Nikki.
Cigarillas? We had to look that up on
YouTube. Yeah. So he does a fantastic job of bringing that whimsy without losing sight of the flavor profiles of what makes Filipino cuisine. So,
And I think also like when for me, when I speak to my parents and me showcase, you know, some of the dishes that Geordie's prepared and whatnot, they're like, okay, what, you know, it's not familiar to them, but when you taste it. Mm. So it's introducing something different to my parents as well. So it's an experience for them. And so they're coming along to the Barrio dinners, and I think we've also invited all our families. So it'll be interesting to see what their thoughts are. But I think once they get into it, I think they'll really appreciate how far our cuisine has come.
sbs.com.au